What do you mean they abandoned?
They abandoned him.
Just
and they gave him
there.
They gave him to Betty Curry, Clinton's old secretary. I don't know whether she's old or not, but anyway, his former secretary.
So in the end, the dog trumped the cat.
Right, whose desk outside the Oval Office Sox had once frequented. Because cats are prone, when you're working, when you're concentrating on something, to jump up in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
Because they, I guess, they want to capture your attention. And they think there's something going on there that...
Especially if you're reading a newspaper on the couch.
Anything, doing homework, working on the show, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So poor Sox was abandoned by his owners. And this is how one old Bit magazine put it. Sox the cat, sorta beloved pet of the Clintons, died on Friday in the care of retired Clinton secretary Betty Curry. And why was Curry watching over Sox? Because when Bill Clinton left the White House for New York, he brought along his newer pet, Buddy the dog, who was soon run over and crushed to death by a car. Sox was supposedly going to live in Hillary's fancy new house in Washington. But Hillary was never quite ready, quote-unquote, to allow her own pet, a helpless animal, to move to Georgetown. So poor old Sox was stuck with Mrs. Curry, or poor old Mrs. Curry was stuck with Sox. But at least they were no longer stuck with the Clintons. The end. So there you go. Okay, you're back. You're back. You're back.
Are we back, Chris?
Yeah, you're
Bobby,
back.
Bobby,
you're back.
Bobby,
I got...
Dave just said that Sox didn't get security clearance. Okay, listen, Greg. This is a momentous time. It's February 22nd, right? We got Dave Neufeld. But we have here on the line, for the first time in decades, Bob Marshall. Speak, Bob.
I made it all up, but it all came true anyway. That's the funny part.
He made it all up, and it all came true anyways, Greg.
I made it all up, and it all came true anyway. That's the funny part.
Now, here's the theory of what's going on right now at the moment for those listeners who really haven't a clue of what's happening. We've got sort of a line of succession on the phone here.
Exactly. And it begins with Neufeld.
Yeah, it begins with Dave Neufeld. Dave Neufeld was a
news director.
CKLN, and he was a news director here and actually did some things that were important and which... and
were important.
Cool. And created programming, and which was impressive. I remember listening back then to the news programming, and it was quite interesting. And, of course, I didn't know Dave Neufeld was involved. It was just you'd listen to people, and you didn't know who they were. And so you just enjoyed having the radio there. They were doing this work, and it was good. It was better than listening to the CBC or other stuff. Then a guy named Bob Marshall started collaborating with Dave Neufeld, and they started concocting the international connection and formulating that, which really, at the beginning, was an interview program or had elements of interview with it involved with interviewing Mabe Russell and Sherman Skolnick and maybe Dr. Beter, I'm not sure. And then it went into more of a half-hour program where Bob Marshall would introduce material from Dave Emery, who is a West Coast broadcaster, who would be talking about conspiracies and the Kennedy assassination and drugs, guns, and the military. And he'd have a co-host named Nip Tuck. And they would do this program, and Bob would split them up and serialize them, I suppose, and run them week over week. And you'd get this little burst on a Sunday morning of interest, and I'd be there recording. And this went on for a while, and then Bob Marshall was gotten rid of, and then Bob Marshall came back, and then Bob Marshall I'm just trying to do it in short form. And then we have Bob Dobbs, who is on the line with us from Hawaii, usually every week these past few months. And he has some tenuous relationship to Bob Marshall. Now I'm just going to be honest here. This is my perception.
Hey, Bob Marshall, watch the background. Watch the background.
Yeah, I'm watching it.
Okay, good. He's watching the background. Go ahead, Greg.
Now, I was going to bring in audio, but I was just too lazy to do it, of old Bob Marshall shows. I should have it on hand.
Too lazy to do it.
And you mean put in the... Yeah, I could, I guess. Actually, it probably doesn't work. Steve is saying that there are some copies of these shows here, maybe. Yeah. I don't know whether they will work in this DVD record player here. But now, a few years ago, getting Bob Dobbs and Bob Marshall on the phone at the same time, let alone physically together, was a bit like seeing Clark Kent and Superman. Now, Superman was able to split in two at one point in the comic books. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like Bob Marshall and Bob Dobbs were so inextricably linked that it might have appeared that they were the same person. Then I did a show where I asked Bob Dobbs, I said, can I get Bob Marshall on the phone at the same time? And he said, sure. I said, well, what's the number for Bob Marshall? I'll phone him up, get him on one line, get you on the other line. And this is at a time when getting two people on two different lines was almost impossible here. I managed to do it. Bob says, oh, no, Bob Marshall's going to come over to my house. Bob Marshall's going to come over to my house. Yeah, yeah, he'll be here. I'll just pass the phone over to him. And so I thought, oh, all right. I mean, I would have preferred to phone two different numbers because I was a little bit concerned that about this linking between the two of them. They sounded similar in many ways. So then I had to put up with this one call, and there was a change in voice. There was, but have you ever heard that episode? You probably haven't.
So.
Of the it's a classic one. I've had a hard time finding that one myself. Then I think it was about two or three years ago, or maybe longer. Bob Dobbs took another step forward and actually introduced someone in person who he claimed was Bob Marshall.
Now
at my house, and this person who's on the phone now is claiming to be Bob Marshall.
Right, and he's making sounds. He's walking around in his home. He's in Toronto. Now, the reason he was available at my home in New York is that he was living in New York in the underground economy.
Oh, yeah?
And he didn't have a phone. Bob Marshall moved there in early 2001.
Hmm.
And
we don't have to give the details. It happened.
Why he's at my place.
And then he's
now
back.
He has his own phone, so he's on the line here.
Well, that's good.
Okay, so,
hold on. I'm going to take this call because, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I just had a question. I was wondering if Dave Neufeld started the Word of Mouth shows as news director.
No, that was Gordon Platt.
Not Chris Toomey?
Or no, sorry, Chris Toomey. Sorry, I think it's
that's Neufeld first heard May Brussel, I would say, 1st of September 1984, and that's what got him involved with CKLN News Directing.
40th anniversary of D-Day.
Yes, it was on Chris Toomey's show, Word of Mouth, 11 o'clock at night or so.
Oh.
Totally impressive.
So it was 11 at night, eh? The Word of Mouth shows that exist. That still exist. There are some new shows, I think, on 7 to 8 p.m. I'm on the Wednesday show. This is Daniel.
Yeah,
Libby,
that was
actually
taken over by Dan. What was Dan? See, Dan fired Bob Marshall, shifted him to Sunday, shifted Bob Marshall to Sunday, and they fired Neufeld, and they Toomey got fired, and so they took over his title, Word of Mouth, and made it an early morning thing.
Oh.
Yeah, what did you say? No, sorry, evening, early evening.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But that was after Chris Toomey.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Chris Toomey, the battle over Toomey was the beginning of the corruption that came in with everybody.
Yeah.
And here's Neufeld. He can elaborate within restrictions on that.
Yeah, no, I would definitely say that's when the pink said, nah, we're going to get rid of anyone we don't like. And then all these people became bureaucrats that are now, counselors and people in positions of power. You saw very early. I saw very early. They knew what power was, and power means maneuvering and getting rid of people you don't like or who oppose you.
So it began with word of mouth, which is what it all is. The musical programmers don't care what's going on with management. It's the word of mouth people who are ideological and get all uptight. Spoken word programming. That's where the battles are.
Yeah,
that's the minority.
Yeah, that's Daniel Libby, all right.
Right, and I believe that Bob Dobbs is speaking the truth. The one thing I've been thinking about, though, all week has been something Bob Dobbs said last week, where he said, I think he said something like Barack Obama's dumb or Barack Obama's stupid, and I didn't agree, because at least
he's totally
this guy...
Over his head. He believes in literate Gutenberg values. He thinks he's actually at headquarters. The naivety's incredible, and there is rebellion happening all over the place.
Exactly.
The Texas National Guard are ignoring the federal government and have blocked the border at Texas.
What, is that guy again, Tom Hennigan?
No, this is actual news.
Really? Oh, okay. The real stuff, okay.
It's real stuff.
All right.
But let Bob Marshall speak to the caller.
All right, very good.
Go ahead, Bob. I don't know what you want to say, but,
Better be good.
I'm really, really impressed with the caller's perception that Bob is the clairvoyant for the time.
Yep. Carry on. Say some more.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead, Daniel Libby. I think you have more to say than...
I was also wondering okay. about
hold on. Yes.
Bob Nesbitt. I listened to the cast list. So that's another name I've heard.
You've been listening to that, have you? You've been filling your head with that nonsense.
Mind listening to the past episode, I thought of Fight Club. I don't know if you've ever read the book Fight Club or seen the movie.
One
guy brought up what his friends were doing, were selling their clothes. There's a part where the female character in that sells her clothes, Marla. And I'm like, well, that's strange that they're living that lifestyle. And then a few days later, I see in the news headlines that in Greece they had found a bomb underneath the city bank in a truck, and I was like, this seems like right out of Fight Club. I'm like, these people are living something I thought was too extreme in the movie, because I thought in the movie, the end of the movie or the end of the book, I figured this guy is crazy. So I was like, well, how can they be living this Fight Club lifestyle? But I still think it's one of my favorite movies, but. I don't know.
What does that have to do with cash flow?
Yeah, what's it got to do with cash flow?
I'm lost.
It crossed my mind that people are living the Fight Club lifestyle. They're living Marla Singer's life in America. In Greece, they're living Tyler Durden's life. It's a strange connection.
Really. Fight Club is Neufeld, Dobbs, and Marshall. That the hallucination of the guy who leads the Fight Club is not even there. It's what people think I am, and a certain level I am.
All the characters are the same person. He just hasn't awakened to it yet.
Right.
They're all the same person. There's the Bob Marshall DSP. I mean, you call her. You start listening to my shows, you become something of me. It's a virus.
I guess.
Bob Marshall here, when he got involved with me, he started sounding like me.
I think that's an effect that if you watch very carefully, anytime somebody's around Bob or has been around Bob, depending on how much time they've known him, they always pick up the little nuances and Bobisms, and they can't help it.
Yeah.
Bomb conduction.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. You pick it up. You pick it up.
Who's that?
Oh, what? Me.
Fair enough. That was a great clip, Greg, a few shows back. Fair enough.
Okay.
The Christian Bale show was great.
In a timely manner.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Daniel, for being on the air with us and prompting Bob Marshall to say, what the hell are you talking about?
You want me to ask you a question, Greg?
What? You want to ask me a question? Oh, please, go ahead.
I had a question about Stalinism.
Please, I'm an expert.
Right.
Yeah.
And, well, because one of the things that you were mentioning in American politics is that you like Dennis Kucinich as a congressman, I think.
Yes.
No, I want to hear this.
And I was wondering... Wouldn't Dennis Kucinich's attitude, if, say, George Bush had been a Stalinist, wouldn't Dennis Kucinich not be around? Wouldn't he be in trouble? Wouldn't he not? Wouldn't, I mean.
Dennis Kucinich is a communist.
Right,
why would Stalin have a problem with Dennis Kucinich?
No, but I mean, I mean, that attitude, the Stalin, or the story of Stalin, I guess, is that...
Yeah, he's saying that... George Bush has the attitude independent of his ideology.
Wait a minute, Daniel, you're getting something mixed up here. So, it seems to me that Denis Kucinich is for government-run programs. He's as far as I'm concerned, he's very, very socialist person. About as socialist as you could possibly get in the United States. Maybe you can find someone else who's more so. Now, you're saying when you say Stalin, I mean, it'd be like, why don't you say Hitler? If Hitler had Denis Kucinich there, then he'd want to kill Kucinich. But they're more ideologically the same. Stalin and Denis Kucinich are the same. So I don't know what you're trying to get at. He would like Denis Kucinich. But the thing is that if Denis Kucinich was more like Hitler and Stalin was running the country, then he'd want to get rid of Hitler. And right. I think you could agree with that, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, I guess my only point is, I guess I'm glad that they people have tolerance, some form of tolerance now, it seems like.
Yeah, you have tolerance for people who have good ideas, for good social ideas. That's what we should have tolerance for, and we should have intolerance for people who don't. The problem with the society is that we've got tolerance for people who are trying to always rip off other people. Look at what's going on. We have incredible tolerance for this. In fact, we're encouraging it. We're saying it's a good thing, taking risks. Yeah, risks where you're even risking going to jail for the rest of your life for trying to become a billionaire and hoping that that in your lifetime the economy will never contract enough for it to be found out, for the scams to be found out. That's what we're seeing here now. Just a small portion of the scams are being discovered, and then the others are quickly being covered up, or they're not big enough to even go after. Do you realize when there's fraud going on? In an organization or anything, do you realize how much money it costs to actually prove a fraud? You've got to bring in auditors of what do you call that?
Forensic
accounting. Do you know how much money that costs? Like the RSU here brought in they passed some vote at the board of directors of the Ryerson Students Union, and they said, we think there's some problems here. We're going to do a forensic accounting going back 20 years. Well, the university got involved with that. They said, whoa, wait a minute. We'll pay for it. But then they started negotiating what the forensic accounting would actually be. It ended up that it was just the health and dental program and their election procedures. And that cost is evidently estimated at costing somewhere around $85,000. So you can see why people can get away with fraud, because it's built into the system. It's a cost of doing business. And so
I don't know if you made the right connection there. They get away with it because nobody can afford the correction.
That's right. Nobody can afford to actually go in and find out what they did. Because
to stop the process, kind of like media ecology. To stop the process and see what's going on. It's too expensive.
It'll bankrupt a company to find out what kind of corruption was done in it. More dangerous to do the forensic accounting than it is to actually just let the corruption go on, let the party roll.
And that's what I say, and Andy agrees. It's too dangerous to stop and conceptualize what's going on. You don't need to think anymore.
So, I mean, Daniel, what you're saying is that Stalinism, in your view, is just constant repression. But they got stuff done there. I mean, you've got to imagine that after World War II, this was a devastated country. Mm-hmm. And they had to – not only were they being attacked, but they had to fight back and win. And they lost 25 million people. So they had to rebuild. 10 years later, they're in the space race. They're beating the whole rest of the Western world, essentially, in terms of development.
I just realized, Greg, can you hear me, Greg?
You can't live in a repressive society and do
that.
Can
you hear me, Bob?
Can you hear me, Greg?
Yeah, I can hear you. But
if they allow capital.
I just realized that Neufeld was a Stalinist in some ways. He started broadcasting the Soviet and shortwave stuff. Neufeld was a practical journalist saying, well, they're actually doing something over there.
Yeah,
and
in
that's
fact,
how it started.
In fact, I found some of those in the archives here. I found some of that Radio Moscow material. I mean, that was that's in its later days. That's far off of the Stalinist thing. But what were you saying, Daniel?
So you think you can get more done in a communist society than capitalist society?
Absolutely. Absolutely, it's proven. It's proven. It's proven you can get stuff done.
Motivation, that'll get you up in the morning.
Sure, you got a job. You got a job. I mean, look at
they call them jobs, Dave. They call them slavery, and you're calling it jobs, Greg.
Well, whatever. I mean, I don't know which
whatever.
Well, this is slavery. You have slavery here in this society. You don't even have a job. You don't have anything to do. You got to think it up yourself.
Look at busy.
You know what? More people have media coverage here, so to be poor and obscure there.
Hey, I know way back when, Dave Neufeld, that you know you could say the S word, the F word. You could just do all kinds of racial epithets on the air. I know you could do that, but you can't.
CKLN.
You can't do that. You can't do that now.
My boo.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Dave, what were you saying, Dave? Do it again.
Play it live. I just said that you could be poor and obscure in the Soviet Union. It was easier to be because you didn't have any media coverage, so everyone could just be together. Whereas here, if you're poor and obscure, you know we all never be on TV except as a sad, sympathetic case. No one wants to be that.
Jerry Springer.
Well, there's a downside. Yeah. There's a downside to living in any society, and. But there's no doubt that in the during the 1930s and then after World War II, there was tremendous movement in the Soviet Union, tremendous advances and that were far beyond what could have ever been done had communism not taken hold, because that place was a mess.
Yeah, it's incredible. Think in 10 years, 47 to 57, they had Sputnik up. Now, but what was being done is that Rockefeller was funding this.
That's the thing, the Lend-Lease program. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
take the money from anywhere you can get
Iran,
it.
The stuff was being shipped in.
Yeah, you get that, Greg? It wasn't just down. He had Nelson Rockefeller's help.
Well, all right. If you want to get his help, get his help.
Providing money to do the communist deed.
So
Nelson Rockefeller was tetrad management. He's handling economies all over the world, and he wanted to keep them balanced. And that's why he allowed Alger Hiss to leak stuff to the Russians so that they could have the bomb, because he didn't want one side having the bomb.
I don't believe Alger Hiss did that. But Daniel Libby.
Oh, wait a minute. That's a party line here.
No. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying the Alger Hiss thing. I'm not. I'm not buying the Alger Hiss thing. Hold on. Now, Daniel Libby, I'm going to get you there without the cacophony of the other noise. I need to focus on you right now.
So you think
that you're of the opinion that you need some kind of a balance. We need to have people who are capitalists and people who are, I don't know what they are, non-capitalists, sort of having debates with one another. Do you really think that needs to be debated?
Yes, I still do.
You do? You're on the fence then, are you, personally?
Because did Russia turn? Eventually Russia had to turn, right?
But it's not a matter of, in a sense, it's not really a matter of the past. You can look at the past and make certain, draw some conclusions from it. But are you, so you're a Trotskyist. You really think that we've got to have this?
Not totally. I'm still questioning that as well. The thing I'm also questioning, though, is World Reports, because I checked the website that Bob Dawes recommended.
Right.
And what I was wondering is, does Richard Story, does the guy that writes World Reports, does he have any in-camera access? Because I've been looking up the word in-camera, this phrase, because how can this guy write all this stuff without... does he actually know what's going on?
Well, I think there's one explanation for it, perhaps. I don't really know who this person is, but guessing, I would say maybe he's lying. But we'll put you over to Bob here and see what he has to say about it. Bob, what?
Oh, Greg, we couldn't hear the last bit.
Really?
Yeah, now Bob.
We can hear you, but not the guy in the phone.
Yeah, now Bob Marsh is on the internet. He can be on the internet. He could listen right now. He's 2 minutes behind on the internet.
You can't hear the person on the phone. Like, right.
No,
hold on.
Can you hear me now?
Just.
Yeah, why couldn't we hear him, Greg?
Can you hear me now?
Turn this down, Greg.
Just a second. Bob, be quiet here for a minute, please. Okay, Daniel Libby, I want you to say something. Say hello, Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Did you hear him say hello, Bob?
Yes.
All right. I don't know why. I put you on hold, and maybe somehow, for some reason, you don't hear him when he goes on hold. But
yeah,
he was saying...
We'll calm down.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Daniel Libby was saying that Richard's story on worldreports.org, which is a website that...
Chris Storr. Studying Bob stuff, Greg. You realize this guy is... Don't forget to go to Tom Hennigan.
Bob, just hold on. Let me finish my question. I'm gonna rephrase Daniel Libby's question.
Yeah.
He's saying that this Chris Storr is writing things, and he believes that Chris Storr has quote unquote in camera access. In other words,
does he? That was my question.
Does he have it? Because he's saying such fantastic things. What kind of item is he saying, Daniel Libby, that is so fantastic and unusual?
Oh,
give me an example.
Well, he talks about, for instance, he talks about that he's an agent of the Queen, that he's of Queen Elizabeth II, and that he's
That's enough.
You bet that's enough. All right, Bob, explain this.
Let me answer. I visited Chris Storr on April 4th, okay, the day Mrs. McLuhan, Corinne McLuhan, died. I was in the office in London with Chris Storr. I had never met him before. And he didn't know who I was. He said, I'll give you 15 minutes. Well, we stayed there for 2.5 hours. And while I was there in his office, the Queen's aide called him about a crisis that was happening that weekend. I witnessed it. He is representing the Queen. And I would say 90% of what he's talking about is exactly true. The Queen had her gold stolen at the end of March 2007. She came over in May. They had the Virginia Tech massacre as a little digression. She had a meeting with President Bush. They had a falling out, and the Queen is not allowed back in the United States. But George Bush went to the G7, G8 meeting, which is controlled by the Queen, and he, if you remember, wasn't allowed to be part in any of the meetings. They said, why? He said, I got a cold. Do you remember any of that, Greg?
Oh, no.
No.
Anyways.
No handshake.
No handshake. That's later.
There's a clip on YouTube of him being the only guy not having his hand shaken by all the other friends.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, but that's a year later. That's just recently. I'm talking about in June 2007. Maybe that's on YouTube. Bush was not at the regular meetings. They said, why? And they said, George's got a cold. But it's because he was not allowed. Bush, at that point, could not go where the Queen controlled the scene, and the Queen could not come to the United States where Bush controlled it. And that's the kind of stuff Chris Storr is reporting, and he's accurate.
What does it mean? What does it matter whether the Queen can go to the United States or whether they can travel? Who cares?
Here's where it matters, Greg. She came over to point out to George Bush that she started the country in 1620 at Jamestown with the Commonwealth of Virginia writ. This is the stuff they cite. And Bush says, no, we don't acknowledge that writ.
Yeah, okay? They get into these petty little arguments, right?
No, it's because
people who
run around in the 20th century think they own where they live. They don't own it. They don't. Greg, Canada is run by the House of Windsor. They own Canada. And so when push comes to shove, when the banking starts to collapse, and it was starting to collapse in the spring of 2007, they have to decide who's what and what time it is. They bring in Greenwich Mean Square.
All right, very good. Does that answer your question?
Watch your background, Bob Marshall. You're putting the sound over there.
Does that answer your question, Daniel Libby?
Yeah.
Okay, exactly. Anything else before we go?
I was just going to mention that I think that that people are saying that Obama might be destined to fail, but I think that this mess that's going on in the United States, you got to blame some of this on Bush. Like, that's probably why.
Daniel, what are you doing? What are you? You know, of course they're going to blame. That's the system that you seem to want to be involved in.
He believes in the media landscape.
You want to have their elections, and they change people, and they blame the other person, and then they move on, and then they make more mistakes. And that's going to lead me to my next story. I'll drop you here. And it's this this great leader, Chavez. Now, this
Bob Marshall, you've got to stop playing around the kitchen. It's leaking.
Yeah, let's drop Bob. Let's drop Bob Marshall. Drop Bob Marshall.
Drop
Bob Marshall. Drop him. Drop him. Drop him. Drop him. I'm sick of it.
Okay.
All right.
Drop.
So.
Not drop it.
Put it on mute, man.
Now, last week, there was a vote. Last Sunday, there was a vote in Venezuela. And the vote was to get rid of term limits. Now, I have thought about this quite considerably, and I believe that there shouldn't be any term limits. Why do you want that? This whole system, anything they do in the United States is wrong with politics. It's all screwed up. And this term limit business, it gives this changing all the time. It gives them a break. It lets them off the hook. And they're always going, oh, no, it was the other guy. It was the other guy. It was the other party. They did it. Oh, things are bad. Oh, I realized when I got into power, I'm left with a huge deficit. I can't do everything I promised. It's just ridiculous. It's silly. And this Chavez is trying to stop this nonsense. He's getting on with his campaign to turn Venezuela, and I hope the rest of South America, into a socialist workers' paradise that Dave Neufeld abhors. And,
and if the price of oil stays down, you can't afford.
Oh, he'll afford it. No.
His music keeps your life going, Greg.
He'll afford it. Don't worry. So they were voting on this term limit. So they said vote yes would allow Mr. Chavez to stay in office after his current term ends in 2012. And why not? If in 2012, they're doing well there, why do we want to lose him? Why did they want to lose him? Why does he have to go? Like, for instance, Walt Disney. I like Walt Disney, and he did great things. What? He's running his company, and they say, oh, no, Walt, you got a term limit. His only term limit was death with lung cancer, smoking too many cigarettes. That was the term limit. And if you're doing a crappy job, then they'll get rid of you, right? It's same
well,
on a board of...
How will they get rid of him?
In a vote.
He's the army. He'll shoot anybody who tries to get
rid of him. No, he won't. He doesn't do that.
He wants to be president.
It's a dictatorship
for life.
But why not? Why not? What's the problem? If he's doing a good job, it doesn't say he's going to get rid of elections.
So what happens when he stops doing a good job? Let's say that happens 20 years from now. Something happens.
What do you think it's any different? What do you think? Look at the terrible job that's being done here. What? Would you think we've got different governments here? Do you think this is a different government when they change from
we agree with you there, Greg. Stay on the topic.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, Greg.
Yeah, all right. So Chavez,
I have a problem with president for life.
No, but well, okay. Well, Kennedy was president for life.
True. Another good point.
All right.
True. Wait. There's no Kennedy. What are you talking about?
Kennedy. John F. Kennedy was president for life.
Well, where'd you get that idea, Greg?
Well, he ended his life and he was president.
Is there something you don't understand, Greg?
What? No, he's still alive?
I'm going to Christian Bale now. Is there something you don't understand? John Kennedy's been dead for 45 years, Greg. What the heck are you talking about? He's president for life.
Yeah, he was president for life.
See, always.
You can only be.
It's the nature of the making part of the brain. Every one of us has a flaw in our perception, and eventually it'll come out if you keep on air long enough. Greg, you said a ridiculous statement. You know, Kennedy's still president. Why are you saying that, Greg?
No, he was president for life.
He was not president
for
life.
If Chavez died in the next 3 years, he would have been president for life. His life.
Oh, you're being clever,
boy, he's catching
Greg.
Up. He's
you're
catching up.
Friends. Bob's oh, okay.
Bob's catching up, Steve. He's catching up. Your cult leader is catching up to my wit.
Yeah, our leader. Yeah. My flaws, but he's...
Yeah, he's catching up to my wittiness.
Do me, Greg.
He does not get it.
Mind me.
Like, this is Christian Bale.
He does not get it.
Yeah. Your cult leader does not get it.
No! Don't shut me up!
So, and this is what Bob Marshall is doing in the background.
Oh, da-da-da-da, like this in the background.
That's what he's doing. He's doing all kinds of stuff like that, right? That's what you're doing. Yeah, Bob Marshall, as Christian Bale says.
You're a nice guy. You're a nice guy.
Yeah, you're a nice guy.
I love that show. That was one of my favorite shows.
You're having a little bit of taste of it again. All right, so getting back to another one of my favorite leaders in the world.
But Neufeld's addressing this, but what are you going to do if Chavez turns bad?
He's not going to turn bad. What bad would only be, it's getting back to this Daniel Libby point. Bad is only if you're doing things against society. The Chavez has proven that he's with the people. He wants to raise living standards. He wants people to have education and health care. This isn't a guy who's going to suddenly turn around. What do you think he's going to do?
I think, Greg, you have a point. Even if he turns bad, it can't be any worse than the next asshole.
You're right.
He isn't saying, I want to be president for life. He says, I want to be able to run for more elections.
That's right. He wants to be able to run for another term, and I don't see any problem with that. If he's doing a good job, what? What happens if you have term limits? Now, they say that in Russia, and I don't know this is the case, but they're basically saying over there that they just get around it. That Putin steps down, becomes the prime minister, and then they put Medvedev in. Now, I've noticed a change. I don't know whether I just like this Medvedev guy better from a visual point of view, but I think this guy is doing a lot better job than when Putin is in. Now, maybe just circumstances have changed, that Medvedev is doing more heroic types of things, like that thing he did in Georgia, defending the people in Georgia.
And yeah, maybe Putin need to move in another era, and he agrees with what Medvedev's doing.
Yeah, and so they voted on this, and they won. Chavez won. Now, I'll tell you something really interesting, and this gets to the Zionist Canadian press.
Dump that, Greg.
I'm not dumping that. I'm not dumping it.
I feel moron man coming on.
I went to find out what had happened in the referendum. Now, I haven't been watching international
Zionist Canadian press.
I haven't been watching international media too much this week. I've been
Zionist
involved
international media.
Right. I've been involved in too many local things lately. Wink, wink.
Yeah, and local corruption.
I've been involved in that. More of a local scene.
You're a station manager for life, and they won't believe it.
I thought that was your job. So, now,
did you have to dump that, Greg?
I don't know. So I looked up Chavez and vote in Google. That's all I did, and you can do that at home now if you wish, or if you're at your internet. And the first item that comes up is, it says, President Hugo Chavez crashed to an unprecedented vote defeat on Monday as Venezuelans rejected his bid to run for re-election indefinitely and accelerate his socialist revolution in the OPEC nation. Despite an oil-financed state-backed campaign, Chavez narrowly failed to muster enough support for a constitutional reform package that would have scrapped term limits on his rule and given him broad new powers. And in the Google, it says the date is a recent date, 2009 date. You go into the actual article, 2007, December 3rd, 2007.
Hmm.
I thought, that's fascinating. It's on Google News. You do Chavez and vote, and you end up with a two-year-old article that says, from the Canada.com, the Zionist Asper Media, and they're saying that he's been defeated. And this crushing defeat that they're talking about in 2007 was by 2 percentage points. 51-49. Well, now that he got 54%, so we've got that now. They have that. He can run again. Will he be able to get in again? I don't know. But the revolution continues, and good things are happening. And they're going to reorganize and adapt to the lower oil prices. They probably gained a lot of money and with the higher oil prices for the brief period of time that they were there. And good luck to President Chavez. And he went on a little surprise Cuba trip. Just yesterday, actually.
Neufeld wants to say something.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just wondering, I think the difference between Venezuela and a lot of these other countries in that area is the drug lords don't control Venezuela. Most of these other countries are controlled by the drug lords. The people that are in power, they're just there to carry out the drug lords' needs.
Right.
Well, that's a big difference, too. If the drug lord controlled Venezuela, Chavez would be in a whole different situation.
Of course, and that's why they have such trouble with Colombia, because of the big drug infestation there. I noticed that I've got somebody on the line here. Go ahead, you're on the air.
With Steve Shaw, in my estimation, did well here. Even with Steve Shaw, in my estimation, did well here.
Do we know who that is now?
No.
We have no idea who that is, do we? So President Chavez visited Fidel twice in a surprise Cuba trip just recently. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez has met twice with the ailing 82-year-old Fidel Castro during a surprise 24-hour visit to Cuba. Cuban state media says Chavez arrived Friday night on a working visit and was greeted by Fidel's younger brother, President Raul Castro.
Greg, what did the caller say?
He was repeating, I think, something from earlier on in the program. Yeah. We've got somebody sampling things and playing them to us back.
That's good. Greg,
have you ever heard this theory that Castro is a deep-seated American agent?
Yes.
You've heard that theory.
I have heard.
And that's why the CIA circulated rumors in the 60s that they're trying to kill him with exploding cigars. You know, make his beard fall out, but they just couldn't get to him. You know, they could send a man to the moon, they could overthrow about 80 governments, but they just couldn't get to this one guy. And the whole thing was a ruse to make the Russians think, he's a communist, bring your bring your surveillance and your advisors and come in, because they've got basically their naval base there with all the surveillance. So the best way to watch the Russians, besides relying on the Galen network, was to get them to come over. 80 miles from where you are, best way to spy on them. And so that's why Castro was never overthrown, because he was helping them, ultimately, the Americans, on a deep-seated level, so they could have their health care and all that stuff like that, and he wouldn't get overthrown. So that's just a crazy theory, but you never know.
Well, the Haitian people, they should be so lucky. The Haitian people should be so lucky. You're on the air.
Oh, exactly. No.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes, I'm so glad to see that Mr. Duppel was reinstated. I actually tried to attempt a coup, but it failed.
Mm-hmm.
No, it didn't fail. I
attempted a coup at CKLN headquarters, and
this is a double agent talking, Greg.
You did attempt it.
You are winning, and all the changes happening are just
hello?
A few stations.
Yes, hello. Hello. Yes,
sure. My line is really breaking up right now.
Yeah, I can hear that. I know they're interfering with you as you're trying to make this important call. Anyway, you maybe have to turn down your radio, because I am in a delay feature at the moment.
Oh, okay, you're delayed, right?
I'm delayed.
I'm so used to you guys being live on air.
Well, we're always delayed. We have been delayed for at least 3 or 4 years. We have anyway. We need the delay.
Really?
Yes. Yes, we do. It's, I mean, what if somebody says something that goes against the CRTC?
Right, of course.
If somebody comes on and says something like, and I should plead myself here, I won't say it. if somebody says something that goes against the CRTC laws, then I don't know who they are. I don't know who's calling in. The CRTC isn't going to go after them. They're going to go after me.
They're gonna
find me, and they're gonna find the station if it's found to be so terrible, and if somebody complains. So we used to do this program without a safety net, and that, looking back on that, it's a scary prospect.
Right.
But we've had very little problem with anything like that. And
I mean,
people
who will play by the rules, but I know what you're saying.
And I play. I play it very safely. I play it a lot safer than I really want to.
Right.
People phone in and say, like Dave Neufeld said the S word today. I dumped it because I just don't know.
Right.
I don't know what people will complain about and what the CRTC deems is incorrect language at some given time, because we're involved in a degree of censorship
system. Figured out why they can swear on the other shows. They're not spoken word shows.
Crazy.
A spoken word show, You can't say the swear words.
Yeah, but I'm so
pleased
that
you can throw that
they actually made an apology to you on
that. I said they say it on MTV.
Like the station has like on air apologized to Fred Duffel.
Yeah, sorry. What were you saying?
I'm so pleased to know that to see CKLN apologizing to Greg Duffel for
and Daniel Bechirat and Daniel Bechirat.
Yes, of course, Daniel as well.
Yes.
No, that was madness because that whole period of limbo, the show was relegated to I don't know what CIUT status. I don't know.
Well, that's the kind of radio that most people want to do. They want to replace it with material where people aren't able to phone and give their opinion.
Right.
That seems to be wrong. That seems to be deemed dangerous by certain liberal elements, I might call them. I'm not talking about the Liberal Party, but they don't want that. And it's just scary for people. They're frightened to hear what's really going on out there and what people want to say. And it isn't really that dangerous when it actually hits the air, but there's some people that are hugely threatened by ideas and countervailing thought. I don't understand it personally, and I find these people, when I get to know them, are objectionable or weak and confused.
Mm-hmm.
But they think that they're on the vanguard of a future society, and I think that they're just way, way backward.
Yeah, and Nelson Thal and myself were trying to speak sanity to your programming, but, we show them websites. We try and talk them down and explain that Greg Duffel was just doing his job, and they wouldn't even acknowledge our existence in the end. They
Who?
Just ignore us.
When was this?
This would be about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And who was doing that? I'm not aware of any of this.
It was right after you were canned.
Mm-hmm.
And he seemed very open-minded. On the surface.
Who was this?
What's his name again?
Nelson Thal?
No, not Nelson. Nelson hasn't been really directly connected to CKLN in a long time.
No, not for a long time.
No, Nelson was completely co-sympathetic with whatever you were up to, Greg.
Okay.
I've
never met the guy. I've never talked to him. So you're testing me, are you?
No. I'm just saying
you're testing
me. With Bob.
Yes.
But he's still... They're still friends.
Is this... Do you live... I think I know who you are.
Yeah, I'm Stuart.
Stuart, yeah. I'm slowly...
You gave me an archive.
I'm slowly recognizing your voice. Yeah, Stuart... I won't give your last name.
Yeah.
But you are Wizard Stu.
That's right.
Yeah, I haven't heard from you in ages. In fact,
it's been much too long.
Yeah. Thanks for phoning in. It's nice to hear your voice. Hey, let's see what Bob has to say here. Hold on. I'm going to put him back because...
Okay.
You're back again, Bob. This is Wizard Stu.
Greg, I wish you hadn't applied down. It's incredible insights coming out of Neufeld.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, we understand. It's too much.
Yeah, because I just can't.
Wizard Stu, he guy used to call me.
Used to phone Bob way back in the early 90s, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I was Ray.
Ray, right.
Ray, that's right, Ray. Ray, excellent. Good to Neufeld remember you. Yes, remember Ray.
And say hello to Caroline. I love Caroline.
Well, you just go to twitter.com or caroldean.com. Man, Carol's all over the place.
Excellent.
And you can talk
I'm so
to
glad
her,
that she's
her.
Reappeared on Ontario television.
Beg your pardon?
And she's actually come back to Ontario television.
Oh, yeah, she's all over the place.
Yeah, it's great.
The best thing that ever happened to her was stupid Ontario taking away her license. I mean, she's bigger than anybody. Jeff Renz called her a brilliant hero recently. Reverend Stang would not peer on Jeff Renz. That doesn't matter. Carol won. And Neufeld's here. He was picked up at the airport by Carol. I mean, what a man's existence.
Some of our associates have broken social scene in Jamaica right now.
Yeah?
I said some of our broken social scene's associates have gone to Jamaica. Bernard Mesa and some of his friends. And, friends of Brendan Canning.
Oh. Oh,
what?
Him.
What, right now?
Is that on
him.
TMZ?
Him.
Who?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, he used to be a programmer, or not a programmer. He was a DJ, too, for CKLN.
Really?
Yeah, he actually gave us radio airtime.
Oh, Brendan Canning, Ray?
No, Bernard Meza.
Oh, Bernard. Okay, yeah.
Oh, the guy from Change of Heart.
Yeah, that's right. They're doing a reunion soon.
He's doing a reunion tour?
They'll be doing a reunion in the summer and the fall with our light show and our pyrotechnics.
Hey, what's the Jamaican connection? You mentioned something.
Oh, they've actually gone on a holiday. Bernard's gone on a Jamaican holiday.
Okay.
Just last night.
Boy, this is really inside, isn't it? We're going from Chavez to... What?
You like Dave's work, Wizard Stu?
Oh, absolute.
Absolutely. Lee?
Absolument.
I mean, Ray or Wizard Stu, remember, you were talking to Dave 25 years ago and through my show, and now you're talking to him again, and you were talking about what he created. Isn't that interesting?
Yes. Well, Bob always gives me a monopoly on it, but it's
a miracle.
I blame it all on Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are the chances that...
I had nothing to do with the boss he called you up. Newfell and Nelson Tall. I didn't even know it was happening.
I made it all up.
I made it all up, and it didn't come through.
Well, Wizard Stu, thanks for... Thanks, Wizard Stu, for phoning in. It's nice to hear your voice again.
I will call you again soon.
Okay, very good. Yes. Well, we're coming near the end of the program.
He called you Daniel.
What?
He called you Daniel.
Did he?
It sounded like he said, I'll call you soon, Daniel.
Oh, well, whatever. It's Greg.
How's Steve Reimer doing?
I've met Wizard Stu.
Where'd Steve Reimer go?
He's here. Steve, say some parting words, would you?
Some parting words?
Yeah,
well,
because we're nearing the end.
Well, Bob and Dave and Greg and all the callers out there, anyone that's listening, it's been interesting coming back to the new studios. Hopefully, the station will still be... here and operating and everything.
Oh, yeah, it's all very tenuous. it just keeps going. Come on. They've been saying for years, the right wing's coming to get us. The right wing's coming to get us. Well, I mean, maybe, who knows?
Ron Paul.
We made it through another program. That's all I can say.
Rebecca there?
No, not yet.
Okay, if she's there... She can interview Neufeld.
He doesn't want that. Yeah, he doesn't want that. Here's we're gonna go to another call. Yeah, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air. You're on the air. You're on the air.
Oh,
why do people do that? Why do people do that? Whoa! Why do people do that? Why do they phone in and then they don't want to talk? I don't quite understand.
They're talking media callsy. They want us to shut up.
Right.
They're pointing out the dead air, which is the point of the show, right?
Yeah.
Or my point.
Well, thank you very much, everybody, for being with us. We had a man who is pretending to be Bob Marshall. We had Bob Dahl, a man pretending to be... A man pretending to be Bob Dobbs. A man pretending to be Dave Neufeld and is... And in the studio, we have Steve Reimer, who I think is Steve Reimer. I think he is.
Only in the Rothschild robe.
Yeah. Here, we're going to go to another call. You're on the air. You're on the...
Arno? Arno.
Oh, Arno Lowy. Yes, say hello to Arno Lowy.
Arno. Arno.
All right. Okay, well, put back.
I want to ask a question. How's the economy going to survive if no one's interested in driving?
They keep typing.
Yeah.
All right. That was the end of the show. And hold on, we need a little pause, right, Steve? And we're ready to go again. Where are you? What?
We're back on.
There's no one here.
He's having to look out the window and make sure no one's out there.
No one's out there. We now know that people jump up and down out there when they want in. I'm sort of focused on what I'm doing here. So we talked about Chavez, and I think I got everybody to agree that that ending these term limits is a good thing. It may seem when you got a bad president.
I agree, yeah.
Yeah,
you even got me to agree.
Thank you. Thank you.
I came around to that. It makes sense. I'm pretending to agree.
Now, what I also wanted to talk about... The Sri Lankans, there's big problems there in Sri Lanka with going after the Tamil Tigers. Now, if I were to say anything good about the Tamil Tigers, and I really haven't done any examination
to make me even want to say something good about the Tamil Tigers. I don't know enough about it. But if I were to, I could probably be arrested because they are a banned group. I don't think that you can support the Tamil Tigers in Canada. Isn't that correct, Steve?
I believe that's correct.
So, if they were a sports group, I would. That's a great name for
it,
a sports group.
It is a good
Tamil Tigers.
Tamil Tigers.
Hamilton Tigers.
there was a kamikaze attack which targeted the entire Sri Lankan Air Force. If this had been successful, this rebel kamikaze attack on Sri Lanka's capital, it could have destroyed the country's Air Force. Because the two explosive-packed planes were shot down before reaching their target, and then
because they had infiltrators.
Then, evidently, the Sri Lankan or the Tamil Tigers supposedly went and killed a bunch of villagers in retribution for this. You're on the air.
Please imitate my friend from Nova Scotia. His name is Bob Dean. He is with you today.
You want to speak to Bob Dean?
Somebody's now attributed you to Bob Dean.
In Nova Scotia.
From Nova Scotia. Yeah.
Well, that's addressed in my book. Bob Dean was a young kid who was murdered.
Really?
Yeah, it's a part of the second Guffey interview in a Paranoia magazine's website. You read about it. And Guffey is bragged. I revealed something that no one noticed about Bob Dobbs.
You're on the air.
I murdered Bob Dean.
You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Good.
Well, you cut that guy off, Greg?
No, I didn't cut him off. He left. He said Bob Dean and went off the air. But this
it's a swear word.
But this is a new. This is a.
He shot himself.
This is a new caller. This is a new caller. And go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to mention about the Tamil Tigers.
Yes, please.
I'm not from Tamil, and in Sri Lanka, I know I heard the Tamil Tigers been fighting for their independence for 25 years. And anyway, the Canadian government invites all these Tamils to come here in Toronto. They're living all over Toronto. And, you know, they got their Tamil posters up, their Tamil calendars up. You know, they're supporting their Tamil leaders. And going on for years here, it's no problem. Everyone's living in peace. Then all of a sudden,
the Canadian government
does not like the Tamils. They're all terrorists all of a sudden. So one day, you know, invite them all over here. Everything's all fine. Years later, after one day, they're all terrorists. I said, geez, is this like Iraq and Iran and everything else all of a sudden? What happened? Did the Tamil Tigers say something like, we're tired of maybe the American government came in there or something and killed some innocent people and people are resisting maybe... their kids getting killed or something? Like, how come all... I'm just kind of wondering how come all of a sudden one day the Tamil Tigers are all of a sudden terrorists? Why, did they speak up for freedom or something?
Well, on June 16th, 2008, Public Safety Minister Stockwell Day, speaking in Toronto, announced the federal government's decision to list the World Tamil Movement as a terrorist organization, calling it the leading fundraiser in Canada for the Tamil Tigers. The federal government has listed the World Tamil Movement as a terrorist organization. Stockwell Day announced June 16th.
Well, you know what? I think the Canadian government, they should wake up. They shouldn't, you know, invite people to Canada to come here and live here and tell them, you know, this is a free country. Then all of a sudden suppress them and tell them they're a bunch of terrorists and they better just shut up or, you know, we're going to send them back to wherever.
Well, certainly, I think it was about maybe 3 weeks ago, I was on the streetcar going down Dundas Street, and there was a huge demonstration.
Oh, yeah, huge. I've been seeing demonstrations because I go to work in Scarborough, and then, you know, I've been downtown Yonge and Bloor one day, and I've seen, like, there's a lot of Tamil people living here, and, you know, I guess they're just, I think pretty well, you know, the Tamil Tigers are just tired of the men and women and children that are dying over there, just like in Gaza. And the American and Canadian, especially Canadian government here, just gives the red light, doesn't say nothing, and just lets people keep on getting killed. And you know what? When I was growing up in school, I thought that Canada was like a peacekeeping country. But it looks like, you know, we're just giving the red light to kill all kind of kids, men and women, children, me, you, everything else, you know? And, you know, this recession, I just want to say, people should wake up. This recession, to me, is just like Zionist sabotage that's 100 years in the making. It's not something that just happened. You know, so fight Zionism and, well, maybe straighten out our recession.
Okay.
Anyway, I want to say thanks for your show. It's the second time I listen. I'm going to start listening all the time. It's a good show.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye.
All right, I'll go back to, we'll see if they're all having a little conversation there on their own. Hi, how's the party going?
Hey, you're tuning into us?
Yeah.
You've let us know we're back on. We cannot hear the caller for some reason. Is there one or two words? Just give us trigger words. What did he say?
He just started talking about he was musing about the Tamil Tigers or the Tamil movement and saying that the Canadian government listed them as being...
I said, talking to Bob Marshall, to Dave Neufeld behind the scenes, you had pawed us down. I said, you watch Greg Lutar talking about some personal animation Disney. You did. You started talking about the streetcar and demonstration. You distract. Well, we all distract. I'm distracted now. So we're not getting anywhere, and that's not a problem, though. But just pointing out the process here.
So this is on February 22nd. The Tamil Tigers allegedly opened fire on farm laborers at a predominantly Sinhalese village in Sri Lanka's eastern province of Ampara, killing 15 people and injuring 20 others. Members of the Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam, fighting for a separate homeland in the South Asian nation, stormed into this village and opened, quote-unquote, indiscriminate small arms fire on the workers. Now, that's allegedly, and it had something to do with this plane incident where the Tamil group tried to destroy the entire Sri Lankan Air Force. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, Eva.
How are you? I've been calling since 8:30. It's only now that I got connected.
Well, I have two lines. Bob has three people on his line, himself included.
Yeah.
And all we have is another line. So I would have hoped, you know, when we moved in here, I was told we would have 100 lines, Steve.
Oh.
100 lines.
What?
Yeah, that we'd have. Oh, I won't do it.
Yeah.
I won't
okay.
do it.
Okay.
That we'd all be it'd all be digital, and we'd have 100 lines. And we've got two.
Your program is only up to 10:30. It's now past 10:30.
I know it's past 10:30. We often do run.
We need overtime, Eva, and don't knock it.
We do
Eva,
run.
Here we got two of you.
Got a good check.
Bob Marshall, Dave Neufeld on the line here with you, Eva.
Still there?
Yes. Can you hear him?
I want to say something.
Yeah, go ahead.
All these years, I thought Bob Dubs and Bob Marshall is just one. You know? I thought he had two aliases, Bob Dubs.
Right.
I thought it was Bob
Two Dubs. Aliases? I don't know how many aliases he's got. He's got so many aliases. There's a desperate need for anti-aliasing. They make anti-aliasing programs for Bob.
So I thought Bob Dubs and Bob Marshall is just one. It's only today I found out that there's another one, another real person.
Yes.
Well, there's a person speaking.
Shut
but,
up, Greg. Shut
all
up,
right,
Greg.
All
he's
right.
He's a real person, okay?
Okay, he's a real person. He's a real person.
And,
how long do I have to go along with this? I'm an adult, Bob.
No,
I'm a human being.
Hey, Bob, can you please call me after the program?
What would you understand?
Talk about Stalin. I mean, Bob's saying, okay, they're all different people, okay?
Yes, okay.
He's got control over so many people's minds. And we're just going, oh, okay, let him just get away with it, all right? It's harmless. This is how it starts. This is how fascism starts, Bob. We go, oh, it's just harmless fun. It's just schoolboy pranking.
Oh yeah.
Next minute you're in a Holocaust.
Bobacast.
He was killed in the concentration camp. It's fantastic.
Anyway, go ahead, Eva. What were
okay,
you, so you learned
else
something
that
today?
I wanted to say. Remember last week you told me that there was a caller attacking me and all that.
I don't know whether they were attacking you. They just said they were very hesitant. An attack.
Saying so many bad things about my.
No. They weren't. They weren't. I said I was going to pull.
There was a sneering tone.
Well, no, they were. Okay, he was hesitant.
Was
you had to drag it out of him.
Marshall confirms.
You had to drag it out of him, though, didn't you, Bob?
Yeah, but
I don't know. He came on with an accusatory. He was implying she's not qualified to be on the great Stalinist show, International Connection.
So I want him to know that I would like him to call back because I won't let anybody attack my reputation. I have to also be given a chance to defend myself.
I know. And if he does phone in again.
Greg knows who it is.
Please tell him, because I have a suspicion who it is. It's
all right.
Either the mother and the son, you know. So
you think that there's a tag team out there trying to get you?
No, I had a friend who sued them, so I supported a friend of mine, so...